Hello and welcome to the Honest Property Investment Podcast. My name is Natasha Collins. I'm the host of this podcast. I am also the founder of NC Real Estate, which is my firm of surveyors, which helps you as a property investor build commercial and mixed use property portfolios. If you want to find out more about what I do and my team, head on over to ncrealestate.co.uk. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for all the lovely messages that I got last week. Having Chris back on the podcast for the first time in probably years. It's been a while. And he was talking to us about what we decided to do with our Charleston property. So as a quick update of what's happened over the last 7 days since I last recorded. It's Mother's Day today. I'm recording because Harry's asleep. Chris is mowing the garden. Chris, side note, Chris mowed the garden yesterday, so he did half of it. We have a battery operated lawnmower that we go and charge, and he stumbled into a brown snake nest, so we've got baby brown snakes all over the garden. They're not venomous, so I don't mind them being there. I really just hope they eat all the pests. Anyway, something that I don't see every day is why I was telling you about that, because I do not ever expect to have snakes' nests in my garden. Anyway, by the by, over the last 7 days, if you remember, our property management company fired us. Chris was still arguing with them at the beginning of last week. As a general rule of thumb, I'm not arguing with anybody. I won't do it. I will state my point, they can state theirs, and hopefully we come to a position in the middle. But again, there's no point in getting riled up about things. There's a lot in property that can get you stressed. What I like to do is take a step back. If you saw my Instagram stories this week, you might have seen I posted a story about the fact that I have a business coach. And what I tend to do is speak to her about anything that I find frustrating, that gets my blood boiling. And she has been helping me take a step back and really think about how I want to answer things, which has been so helpful, so helpful. So going back to Chris getting angry, essentially what ended up happening this week was the old management company had found us three tenants who wanted to take the property immediately. They passed their name and detail over to us. And so I worked on getting a lease drafted. I have found a company who operate out of South Carolina, because I cannot make my own lease unless I am a South Carolinian broker. I am not, obviously. I am UK based. I don't have that much to do in the US at all, apart from the two properties that I own. And so I approached them and said, hey, we've got these applicants. Our previous managing agent put these applicants through the application process, so that's already been done. Would you please put them on a lease? Now, they said to me, unfortunately, we have to go through our own application process, but sure, once they've gone through the application process with us, we'll put them on the lease. And they charged me $99 for it. From there on out, they are going to help me manage the property. They're going to take a 3% cut, and I am going to do the rest. Yes. Amazing. So I was hustling my little bum off last week to try and get that lease in place by Friday, but it hasn't happened. So I'm hoping by the time this podcast comes out, we will have three new tenants in the property. Our old managing agents will be long gone because they just didn't do what they said that they were going to do. Side note, we have a lock on the door now that we can see whether contractors have been in and out. No contractors went in and out last week, yet they were trying to tell us that they had sent some contractors out and they should pay it. We should pay them for it. No, no one had been in the property. We can see that. That's part of the reason why we put the electric locks on in the first place. So actually, I'm now going to look at, can I roll those electric locks out across the whole portfolio so that I can see if people have been in the buildings or not? I don't want to micromanage people, but I at least want people to tell me the truth. that would be really nice. So hopefully this week we have some brand new tenants going in. I'm happy to manage it. I have got some great contractors out in South Carolina, contractors that I trust, and I will just manage it in-house, you know, make it really easy. This week, I have had a question. How can you add an additional £1,000 worth of income per month from your commercial property portfolio? And I wanted to put together the steps that I would take if I wanted to add that extra £1,000 worth of income. Because it's not all about buying additional properties. I think buying additional properties can add to your headache. Essentially, when you get to a certain size of portfolio where you can afford to bring a property manager in-house, you should do it. Otherwise, you're going to have a real big headache. I don't believe that my investors who I work with get into investing in commercial property for commercial property to be another job. You probably got into commercial property for it to be a side hustle, which then translate into just reoccurring income in the future. If you did get into it for a job, great, you keep growing, do whatever you need to do. But unless you are a bit of a property passionate person like me and my team who just enjoy this kind of stuff, I'm pretty sure you don't want the prop man side of things, and I'm pretty sure you don't want to be dealing with lease renewals, break clauses, rent reviews, tenants not paying rent, all that good stuff. Talking of tenants paying rent, this week on my Instagram at NC Real Estate Limited, I have got a 5-step process to collecting rent arrears coming out. So go and have a look at that if you want those tips. Okay, what would I do to add an additional £1,000 of income per month to my commercial property portfolio? Number one, I would be looking at renovating and upgrading my space. This has come up so much this week from different clients of mine. So sometimes what you will find is when you go out and you buy commercial property, there is a schedule of condition attached to the lease. What does the schedule of condition do? Well, it documents the condition that the property was in at the time that the tenant let it out. And often that's because there was some disrepair with the property, or there was something wrong, and at the end of the lease, the tenant does not want the responsibility of putting that property back into perfect condition. They just want the responsibility of putting the property back into a condition that it was at the time that they took the lease, which really is fair enough. This tends to freak my clients out because my clients then think, oh my gosh, when these tenants leave, I'm going to have a dingy, awful property. Not really the case. There needs to be a mindset shift here. And that mindset shift needs to be that at the time that property was let, it was let for the most amount that could be achieved based upon the current condition of the property, right? So say that you let that property out for £15,000 and the property wasn't in the best condition. Well, you know that you can get £15,000 out of that property in the current condition, assuming that the market hasn't dropped significantly. So what you then need to do is think, okay, well, if I have got a lease that's coming up to the end of the term and I think these tenants are going to leave, what is the difference going to be in the rental income that I can get from the property if I was to do the property up and get it into a really high spec versus if I just turn the property around and let it as it is? Because letting it as it is going to be letting it back in that condition that it was when these current tenants took out a schedule of condition, because the current tenants have to put it back into that condition that they took it in. That's what it's going to say in your commercial lease. So I am assuming, based upon the fact that you have got tenants in there that took it on the current condition, you're going to have other tenants which are going to want to take the property on that condition as well, right? What I am suggesting is that you do a comparison. How much is it going to cost me to do the additional works? And then how much rental income am I going to get out of that? If by doing the works, you're going to get significantly more of a rental income and it's going to completely cover the cost of the works that you've done, why wouldn't you do the works? If, however, you are not going to get the money out of the additional rent, here is what I would do. I would have a reletting strategy that meant that I let the property in the condition that the current tenants took the property in. So I'd relet it in that condition. And instead of putting a schedule of condition in place for the new tenant, I would give them X amount of rent free to go in there into the premises when they retook it and get it up to scratch. That way, when that tenant left the premises at the end of their lease, they would have to put it back into that brand new condition. And then at that point, you could get the rental increase from it, right? That's the tactics that I would take. Please go and listen to that over and over again until you understand it. It's a massive mindset shift from residential property, I know, but it really is important that you take that into account. So that's one of the ways that you could get an extra £1,000 per month out of your commercial property portfolio. Next up, lease renegotiation. You could review the existing lease agreement and negotiate rent increases with tenants whose leases are coming up for renewal. Or if the lease is coming up for renewal, but there isn't really any market rental increase to be had, put annual RPI rent reviews in, capped and collared at say 2% to 5%, so you know every year you're going to get that rental increase, so you can rely on that. You could also consider offering lease extensions or incentives in exchange for higher rents. So you as the landlord, similar to what we were saying in the previous, in point number one, if you think you could get a higher rent from your property by doing the property up, you could say to the tenant, hey, do the lease renewal. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z to the property. And if I do that, would you pay rent of X? It's a really good negotiation tactic. You could also target tenants who have been in the property for a while and whose businesses have grown, justifying a rent increase. You could look at whether a turnover rent would be better than the current rent that's in place. Again, that really is up to you, but there are ways and means of getting that increase in rent. Number three, you could look at vacancy reduction. If you implement strategies to reduce vacancies and minimize downtime between tenants, this means that when you're budgeting for your rental income, you can budget less of a void period. Do you budget for a void period? I'm going to ask you that because you might be thinking, Natasha, I never budget for a void period. Please do. You've always got to budget for the fact that you might have 3, 6, 9 months of downtime in between tenants. So you're going to be factoring that in to your monthly expenditure, or at least you should be. Now, if you have a good strategy for letting, for example, maybe you think, okay, well, at the end of this lease, yes, it might take me 6, 9, 12 months to get a new tenant in, but actually, in this situation, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a pop-up store in, or I'm going to temporarily let it to X, Y, and Z and be out there looking for tenants who could go into the space. I've done previous podcasts on how to let a space to tenants within 14 minutes. You just go back a couple of podcasts, you'll find it. So from that point of view, minimizing your void period means that you're minimizing the amount that you have to put aside on a monthly basis for void periods. So get a strategy in place now. Number four, value added services. You could explore opportunities to offer value added services to tenants for an additional fee. This could include providing maintenance services, parking spaces, storage facilities, or access to shared amenities such as conference rooms or fitness centres. These services can generate extra income while enhancing tenant satisfaction. You will have seen that tenants love it if they can go into a building that they can brag about. They absolutely love that stuff. So if you have concierge at the front of the building, and the concierge, for example, a good example of this is WeWork in London used to have itsu on speed dial, and the concierge would order itsu, which is sushi, for everybody in the party who wanted to come to a meeting room. You know, fabulous. People loved that. And by the time everybody for the meeting had got to the building, they'd spent the first 15 minutes in the coffee area, just catching up, doing a little bit of networking. By the time they sat down in that networking suite, or the meeting suite, sorry, the itsu would already be there, so there could be a working lunch. That kind of thing is absolutely vital to increasing the money that you get out of a tenant. Just all these little things, you know, you charge them cost price plus 10% or 20% as an admin or a service fee. You can get really creative with it. Why not email your tenants in your buildings and say, what additional services would you like? What would be really, really helpful for you? That could be a really great way of increasing your revenue. And finally, expense reduction. You can analyze your property's operating expenses and identify areas where costs can be reduced without sacrificing quality or service. The best way of doing this at the moment, I find, is through, if you have a service charge running, is through reducing utility costs. There are a lot of utility brokers out there that specialize in reducing utility costs. So that can get costs down. If you have, for example, more buildings that you can spread costs between, you might get a discounted service, especially if you as the landlord are picking up a lot of costs. You could share expenses with neighboring buildings, for example, and speak to landlords, property managers, and try and get a reduction in cost that way. It could involve renegotiating contracts with service providers, implementing energy saving measures, or streamlining property management processes. By lowering expenses, you can increase your property's net operating income and overall profitability. That is really, really important. I check my expenses on my portfolio every quarter. And if there is something there that I don't like, I make sure I look at reducing the costs, and that's how I keep making sure that I am making the right amount of money, or as much money as I need. So there we have it. That is an overview of the five things that I would do if I wanted to make an additional £1,000 of income per month for my commercial property portfolio without having to buy another property. What do you think? How else would you do that? I'd love it if you could get in contact with me via natasha@ncrealestate.co.uk. I want to hear your thoughts on this, or come and follow me at NC Real Estate Limited on Instagram, or Natasha Collins MRICS on LinkedIn. That is the best way of adding that money to your portfolio. But if you've got any more ideas, please make sure you let me know. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. I cannot wait to catch up with you again soon. Thank you so much for listening today. If you've loved this pod, make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And make sure to leave a 5-star review, as this makes me so happy and it helps to boost the show and get it out there to more property investors. Finally, if you want to email the pod, you can write to me, natasha@ncrealestate.co.uk. I cannot wait to catch up with you again soon.